The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts, and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed, where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And we're very funny.
Okay.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Yeah, let's still do this.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artist and discover some new ones as well at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video versions. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Phineas. We're going to be talking about his latest single, Naked, came out just a few weeks ago, and his upcoming music as well. We'll discuss what his song, The Kids Are Dying, still says in moments of national crisis, and using songwriting as a history lesson. We also get to hear about his plans to possibly put out another album this year, scoring BJ Novak's Vengeance, getting back to work with Billie Eilish on her next record, working with Ash and Justin Bieber, and releasing another single very, very soon. He says he thinks it's actually going to be next month in July. So let's get into it. It's Kyle Meredith with Phineas.
Hey, man. How's it going today? I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, man.
No, not a problem. You got a great new single that we got called Naked. Let's start there. Where does this one come from right here? Because it is. It's a fun one.
Thanks, man. There's a couple places it comes from. I am sort of noodling around constantly, like, you know, oh, let me write a little something. And I wrote this chorus now over a year ago, like a while ago, I wrote this chorus. And I just felt like it was really fun. And I was just pulling from that kind of like idea that I feel like we've all had where you after a relationship has been over for a while, you think about this person that you used to be, you know, like that used to be your confidant. You used to be like so intimate with that person, and then you kind of like look at them and you're like, wow, they're a stranger again, and I can't believe that person is like, you know, knew everything about me, saw me naked, whatever. And I wanted to put something out. The only live show I really was booked for this year was Coachella, and I really wanted to put something out pre-Coachella, and I have a bunch of songs written, but I thought that one would be really fun to play live, and I wanted to open the show with it. So that was sort of the main genesis of when I released it. It was like, this will be really fun to play at this festival, which it was. I was correct. I'm happy I did.
Now that you can grade yourself on that, it is fun, because I quickly realized when I needed to Google it, I'm Googling Phineas Naked. That's the right words that you have to put in there.
Right. Yeah, I put up a billboard outside of Coachella that was like, I'm going to be performing naked this year. It was fun. It's been low hanging fruit, as it were.
Seems like there's another pun just waiting to be said, even in the low hanging fruit line there. That's
for sure. Yeah, that's a pun in and of itself. Good point.
What's that at the beginning? Is that who is that at the beginning of it? Because we hear voices.
It's a very, very old recording of me using a little thing called a Roland vocal transformer and just saying weird stuff with my voice all modulated. And I think it was so silly. There's the long form version of that is me being like talking about like everything I was insecure about or whatever, you know, like all that kind of like intrusive thought, self-doubt stuff. And it's like a lot of that stuff feels, have you ever seen, have you watched The Office?
Yeah.
You know, the episode called Survivor Man, where he's like out in the woods screaming confessions. Like he's like, I have hemorrhoids. And he's just like in the woods. He thinks no one can hear him. I think that that vocal transformer, I'm hemorrhoid free, but I think that vocal transformer was like the, I felt very free. And I was like, just sort of like, so I said, yeah, I dated blank because I was a coward, which is such a, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily even true, but that in that moment, that's how it felt.
I can relate to that. I've had those moments where I think I did date people because I was a coward. So
yeah.
Yeah. That's, and it obviously is an interesting play on the words there of naked and just vulnerability and yeah. What's going on. I mean, it's you do that really well.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. All throughout your catalog, when you're writing these songs, I don't know if it this much thought has to be put into it, but like, because you do wear so many styles so well. Yeah. I mean, I think of songs like Medieval, Once in a Only a Lifetime, you know, where you've got a little Nilsson in there. It's when I hear those, I'm like, he's got a little Nilsson in him, like Harry Nilsson. Like, is that a thought process where you have to choose, like, what is this style going to be? What is the sound of this song going to be?
Yeah, I mean, all my favorite artists have breadth, you know, so I'm happy to have breadth. I mean, I don't like it. It all has to feel authentic coming out of my mouth. That's like the number one thing that I worry about is like, if I say something where you're like, it doesn't sound like him. I don't buy it. So I think that's sort of the number one rule I try to follow. It's just like, does this feel like me? And then I'm kind of on a sonic plane. Like I play around a lot, but it's really more about like what I'm singing, what I'm saying. That's like, that stuff has to feel true, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, some of my favorite work that you've done.
Thanks, man.
I don't mean to make an awkward moment here. I know it gets a little bit darker, but when I bring up a song like The Kids Are All Dying, because
yeah,
of the week that we're in right now, I mean, talk about breath, because there's a handful of songs that just come to mind for, of course, all the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going through. And that was one of them right there. I mean, I hope you don't mind quoting you here. How can you sing about love? The kids are all dying. You have a song like this, and then you have the events that's happening in the world, school shootings, et cetera.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that say about, I mean, I guess what I'm asking here is, does that change how you feel about the songs that you wrote in those real time moments? Not that you regret them. That's not what I'm asking, but when those come to mind, like what comes to mind?
I can't wait for that song to be irrelevant. I'd love for it to be irrelevant. And I wish when I wrote it, I thought it would be irrelevant soon, but I thought this is going to be true for a long time, unfortunately, largely because of our government being cowardly. But I mean, you know, and that song more than anything was really just a song about the rest of the music I make, about like, how can I sing about, you know, love, drugs, sex, whatever, like those are the things I'm saying, but it's like, how can I sing about kind of anything / like nothing when there's this thing that needs to be addressed? Like the whole system feels a little bit like being a musician, being like a pop culture participant as an audience member or as an artist. It's like, it's a little bit like baking a cake while your house is flooding. Like you could focus really hard on the cake, but you should probably stop the leak first. Like, I don't know, like, you know, and you have four people in your house who are like, I can't wait for you to finish the cake. Like, right, but the house is flooding. Like it can feel really silly to be singing about your broken heart when, you know, kids are being massacred. You know, and then the flip side of you know, relevance and culture is like, I don't ever want to seem like I'm milking that or commodifying that ever. That's not my, you know, position. And I also think that, you know, I mean, the now the Chicks, the formerly the Dixie Chicks, you know, they had that documentary called Shut Up and Sing, you know,
fantastic documentary.
It's really great. But people have a real Shut Up and Sing attitude towards artists in general, you know, and I feel like if you cross over one too many times, you're deemed a political artist, you know, you're like, that's your thing. And, you know, there are amazing political artists, but it's like, I think the human experience is everything. So I wouldn't want to not write protest songs, and I wouldn't want to write only protest songs, because I don't think either would be authentic. But yeah, man, I mean, it's hard to watch these things happen over and over. I think that's been I've been reassured to see that everyone's response to this school shooting has been rage. Finally.
Right.
I feel like, you know, it's the time for how could this happen is long gone. It's been happening. It's a repeating instance. It's there should be no wondering why or how. So, you know.
Yeah, all my favorite artists are the ones who have done, you know, the best job that they could of reflecting the world around them. That means everything, as you're saying. That does mean, you know, how they see love, but it also means what's happening in you know, the world around us. And I wonder, you know, is the same way a lot of artists decided to write songs about isolation over the past couple of years. I am hopeful that they'll turn around and you know, that the outrage will continue. I think so, you know, amongst all the art that they might be putting out. But I think it's a good time for everybody to kind of rally around and, you know, for these songs to come out there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I hope people keep talking about it.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I will say, and again, this is always awkward transitions when we're talking about this stuff, but the way you do this, it's still so catchy. You turned Scotland Burned in 44 into a hook.
Thanks, man. Very proud of that line. that the songwriting for me often is like a history lesson in and of itself. So like that little, like when you're learning piano or like the flute or whatever, you learn this thing called Scotland's Burning. Scotland's burning, look out, fire, pour on water. It's this like interval thing, it's this little like limerick. And I was like looking it up one day, and it happened in, I think, like 1644. It happened hundreds of years ago, the great fire of Scotland. And I needed it to rhyme with war. So that was the real benefit, was that it was in 44. So pumped on that.
Well done. I don't know that a lot of people would have realized the hook in that line right there, so good on you.
Yeah.
So I mean, so we get back to Naked, and it is, you know, right now a one-off single for you, but I mean, do you see this as the starting the stepping stones? Because of course you just put out an album just last year. So I don't know how quick, you know, you're looking to turn around another collection, but is that on your mind?
Oh yeah. I'm a pretty prolific writer for anyone curious about the definition of prolific, because I see people misuse that word a lot. Prolific just means you make a lot of stuff. Doesn't mean you're a genius. I feel like I didn't want people to think I was being like, I'm pretty brilliant. I just make a lot. So I have a lot of songs written in various stages of being recorded. I'd love to put out another body of work this year. And I just fit the like my life of work is sort of like a pie chart. And the biggest chunk just now was scoring this movie called Vengeance for BJ Novak, which just finished up, which was a joy. But very all-encompassing for a couple months. So that was kind of like all I was doing. Now I'm really excited to dive back into not only my own album, but Billy's next album, which is really exciting.
And I'll bring up you did also the score to the Fallout, which we
I did, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that's such good. That seemed like a natural jump for you. I mean, even just hearing, you know, the work that you've done on your own with Billy and everything, those sounds, like, did it feel natural as it eventually came off sounding?
Yeah, I love the way it turned out, and it was really fun to work on. And I think that movie, again, wildly timely and relevant, unfortunately, but an incredible movie regardless. And, you know, props to these people like Megan and DJ for giving me these opportunities to learn a craft that I don't know already. I've always wanted to score movies, but I've never done it. So it's been a real treat to get to immerse myself in that and learn, you know, I'm sure I have a myriad of shortcomings that they're dealing with, but I'm getting better. So it's really fun.
The prolific part that comes up right there. I mean, because again, we're talking like you put out your own record, you and Billy put out the record. You've got the scores that you're doing here. Like, how do you keep it from feeling like mechanical?
Well, doing the variety of different things really helps with that. Right. So I'll use, you know, I'm not really leaking anything that isn't in the trailer now, so I feel fine about that. The movie Vengeance, which I just scored, it almost all takes place in Texas, but it's about a guy who has a podcast, and he's in Texas with his podcast, kind of doing like a murder mystery podcast. And so I got to do this film score that was like sort of podcast-esque. Think of whatever you want to think of. Think of the theme songs for The Daily and Smartless and any number of, you know, Serial, whatever these amazing podcasts are that have this great interstitial music. So I got to do kind of a bed of like podcasty stuff. And then I got to do all this like spaghetti Western Ennio Morricone, like whistles and yeehaws and bells and baritone guitar. And I got to kind of combine them. So like, not only was I getting to do something that like, hopefully hasn't been done the same way I'm doing it, because it's this combo thing, but it's like something I would never otherwise have an excuse to do. You know what I mean? Like, it would be rare for an artist to come into me and being like, I want podcast spaghetti Western. That's the vibe. But because of this movie, it's like, that's perfect. And it's like, that's how it's got to be, suspenseful, but humorous. But so it was like such a great palette shift for me of like, this is nothing like stuff I've made before. And so that was really exciting. And that makes me want to dive back into Billy's world and make new stuff with her that feels perfectly, you know, in keeping with everything she is all about. So yeah, I would say that that's been the number one way I stay inspired, is just broadening my horizons, just like doing a lot of different stuff. I feel like the least inspired I ever feel is like when I'm just doing the same thing every day. It's like all about the variety for me.
I feel like I'm not a musician, but if I ever had to score something, it'd be like, how quick can I get to Morricone? How quick can I get to Blade Runner? You know, as far as what I can pull off here, that's like the two.
They're so cool.
Pipe dreams. I'll just let you do the work. But you know, in that sense, then does it become obvious to you when you're writing what's going to go to which project? I mean, obviously you get a song like, is this mine? Is this something for Billy's? Do you write like that?
I'm pretty focused before I'm sitting down. You know what I mean? I'm pretty like sitting down to write a solo record, sitting down to write somebody else's record, sitting down to write something for film. Like I go into it with an objective. And sometimes I I get sidetracked. Sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to try to write a song for myself. And in the middle of it, I go, this is going to be way better if I write it for somebody else. And so I'll change. But I usually go into it with an agenda, even if I change my agenda.
Yeah. No regrets afterwards. Like, oh, I wish I'd kept that one for myself.
No, I never wish I'd kept it for myself, really, because everybody else, like, I'm such a fan of artists. So like hearing Justin Bieber sing a song that Benny and I wrote is like, what a joy. Like, what an incredible singer. Hearing Billy sing When the Party's Over, like, these are people that I love the voices of. So no.
Speaking of your collaborations, I just had Ash on the show a couple of weeks back, and
I know
you guys are friends, but you know just she only says nice things about your all's collaborations, and that was a great track as well.
God, I love her. We sang on Till Forever together, and then I executive produced the two EPs that Moral of the Story was on, Moral of the Story Part 1, Moral of the Story Part 2. There's some great songs on there, really great. And I was just writing a song the other day thinking I might have to have Ash on this song. So maybe there'll be even more. I think that's like, she's one of those people, we've talked about this a lot, where like, I feel like her artistic self and my artistic self are like living on the same block, where like some of the artists that I get to produce for, I'm very different than as an artist, which is like cool. That's why I like working with them. But I feel like her songs, my songs, like they're like, you know, they're friends.
And the stuff I've heard from her new record is so fun. And it really is. It's like, it's hitting the mark so perfectly too.
I love her new record.
Yeah. Well, back to you. And again, I'll only throw the compliments to you. Naked. I mean, again, this is the fun one. A teaser in whatever way. I just love all the styles that you do and all the songs that you do. I'm such a fan. So
thanks, man. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. And you know, any timeline on when the next one comes around? I mean, are we looking later in the year?
Summer? Yeah, summertime. I think there'll be one. I think we're looking at July. There'll be another song in July. Another fun one. Right, seasonally appropriate, if you will.
Right on. All right, Phineas, thank you so much for taking the time.
Good to talk to you.
All right, we'll see you around.
All right, take care.
And my thanks to Phineas. Again, the latest single is called Naked, and more new music on the way. And a big thanks to you as well for checking out the episode and the series. Hopefully you'll go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Again, I put out 3 brand new interviews every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual spots, including iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. Again, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, usually mostly on Twitter, but also Facebook and Instagram, all 3 of them at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
I was given the wrong time, so I thought it was an hour later than it was.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.